Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, additional evidence in the case of Donegal man Michael Leonard, who was shot dead by the RUC in 1973, suggests the Irish government was denied correct information by the British authorities. It's emerged sick people on Tory Island needing medical attention on the mainland are being transported to waiting helicopters in work vans. A report by the Institute of International and European Affairs on the cost of a United Ireland has been criticised by an economics professor within the ESRI. And the HSE hasn't given any indication that a new health centre will be developed in Kilmacrenan, despite massive local demand. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That'll be coming up at around 5:20. But we begin with the statement today by Paper Trail, a victims' charity in Northern Ireland. They say additional evidence in the case of Donegal man Michael Leonard, who was shot dead by the RUC just across the border from his native Pettigo, shows that the Irish government was denied information on the killing in 1973. They've obtained what they say is a crucial file from the Department of Foreign Affairs. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Paper Trail says it retrieved a Department of Foreign Affairs file in Dublin relating to the RUC's fatal shooting of Michael Leonard on the 17th of May 1973, 200 yards inside the Northern Irish border. Paper Trail says the file shows British authorities lied to the Irish state and shut down each diplomatic avenue for information. The British authorities wrongly said at the time that the RUC only fired a single shot, and that was an accidental shot that fatally wounded Michael Leonard. Previous Paper Trail discoveries in London archives show that the RUC fired multiple shots at the unarmed civilian, chased him in their vehicle, and then deliberately shot him as he neared his home in Pettigo. The group says those files also prove that RUC headquarters and the general officer commanding the British Army in Northern Ireland knew the true circumstances of the unlawful killing of Mr. Leonard, but nevertheless, the British Armed Forces lied to the family, the public, the coroner at the original inquest, and the Irish government.
It's emerged sick people on Tory Island in need of medical attention on the mainland are being transported to helicopters in work vans. In one recent case, an elderly woman was transported to the island's helipad in the back of a van surrounded by work tools. Councillor Micheál Colmillar-Aspac says it's totally unacceptable that the HSE is putting this responsibility on islanders. He says they deserve equal care.
Last week I had a meeting with the HSE. We had a good, productive, constructive meeting. How to move forward. I then submitted a question through Thomas Pringle to be raised with the minister, because this has to be raised with the minister. And the idea that we think it's okay to put people in the back of a van that somebody else is, and is as generous as they are, who, that uses it for their everyday construction work, is absolutely backward and unacceptable.
A report by the Institute of International and European Affairs on the cost of a United Ireland has been criticised by an economics professor with the ESRI. According to the analysis, reunification would cost €20 billion a year for 20 years. The report also states such an expense would require an increase in taxation of around 25%. However, Seamus McGuinness, an economics professor with the ESRI, says the report hasn't considered many factors.
Well, no, it's static analysis. So it assumes, for example, there's an immediate reunification scenario. It assumes that there is no transition period. It assumes that there is no reform of policy in terms of educational provision, industrial policy, infrastructural investments. It assumes that there's no role for the Irish government and the US government and the British government and the EU in any sort of post-reunification world.
The HSE hasn't given any indication that a new health centre will be developed in Kilmacrenan after a public meeting was told over 1,000 people have signed a petition calling for that to happen. The facility in the village has been closed since January 29th, with locals now travelling to Milford to seek medical care if needed. In response to requests from Highland Radio News for a comment today, the HSE this afternoon reissued a statement from January reaffirming the move to Milford and the transport arrangements through Local Link. That statement can be read in full on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, Councillor Michael McBride says the removal of services from rural parts of the county cannot be accepted.
If that existing centre can't be reopened, in my opinion, we need to look for a brand new centre for Kilmacrenan, because it is a growing centre of population. I think it's unacceptable that all these services have been stripped out of rural towns and villages and been put into larger towns. We believe at Kilmacrenan Primary Healthcare Centre is servicing about 6,000 people. That takes on Term and Kilmacrenan right back towards Illiston, Coolboy, back in towards Trenton and down to Portlaoise. I think it's unacceptable, you know, in this day and age for somewhere that had services on its doorstep for about 70 years, now for they have to get on buses and drive into Milford, particularly, you know, people with serious illnesses like cancer patients. We're now writing to the HSE with a list of questions that we have, and then we're going to look for a meeting with them to see about getting our centre in Kilmacrenan reopened.
A Donegal senator says the border counties must stop being treated like a backwater when it comes to road and rail investment. Niall Blaney has blamed poor infrastructure for a brain drain. He believes if upgraded infrastructure was delivered, more businesses would be enticed to the region and that would retain more young people. As well as a Letterkenny Derry rail link, Senator Blaney is also proposing a speed rail connection from Derry to Belfast and then on to Dublin. He's one of three Fianna Fáil European election candidates in the Midlands Northwest constituency, and he says a positive approach with others in Europe could be crucial in achieving these aims.
I intend building relationships with like-minded members from other regions who are suffering the same as we are, and building those relations, you build a nucleus to give you a stronger voice. You know, Europe isn't about going and just objecting to everything. I strongly believe in building relationships with like-minded people to get what you need and deserve, and that's how I approach it.
HICWA has found staff at a HSE-operated centre for people with mild and moderate intellectual disabilities in Donegal very knowledgeable on the needs and preferences of residents. It follows an assessment of Tusnua, a new residential facility near Donegal town, which provides full-time residential care to three patients and part-time care to one. The centre was found to be fully compliant with all regulations. Finn Harps says a floodlight failure at Finn Park is further evidence that the move to a new stadium is vital for the club's survival. Following consultation with the FAI, Harps match against UCD tomorrow will kick off at the earlier time of 5 p.m. because of the floodlight failure. The system failed the pre-match test last evening because the wrong components were delivered to repair the system, which has been causing problems at home games this season. Aidan Campbell is commercial officer at Finn Harps Football Club. He told today's 9 till noon show that Finn Park needs to be replaced.
It's past its sell-by date, Greg. You know, we've been very open about that. It's just not a modern stadium. So we could spend money. We don't have a lot of it to spend on it. So we need to really look to the future now. And there's a lot of, you know, we are, you know, we go back to the beauty of being a fan-owned club and a service as well. But we'll have an EGM soon to discuss, you know, other options about how we finance it going forward, because they're expensive things to run.
The UN says questions have been raised around Israel complying with international law after its military killed foreign aid workers. More than 32,000 people have died in Gaza since October, but there's been international outrage at the deaths of seven charity staff on Monday in a targeted airstrike by the Israeli military. UN Special Rapporteur Ben Saul has questioned the military's behaviour.
Check that they aren't civilians, that they aren't humanitarian workers. It raises real questions because obviously the Israelis knew that this aid agency was operating in the area. This was a prearranged route. The vehicles were clearly marked, and Israel had all the information at its disposal to know that these were humanitarians on this road that should not have been targeted.
The jury in the Stardust inquests has retired for the evening after considering its verdict for the second day. They've been deliberating for over 7 hours and came back this afternoon with a number of questions. Stephanie Rowan is there.
The 12 jurors have been tasked with deciding the verdicts in the deaths of 48 young people who lost their lives in the Stardust fire. They were aged between 16 and 27 and died when a blaze started in the North Dublin nightclub in the early hours of Valentine's Day 1981. The jurors have five verdicts available to them. They are accidental death, death by misadventure, unlawful killing, an open verdict and a narrative verdict. This afternoon they came back with a few questions, including if their verdicts could be used in any subsequent legal proceedings. The coroner's told them she will give her answers to the questions tomorrow, and the jurors have now retired for a second evening and will resume their deliberations in the morning. Stephanie Rowan at the Dublin Coroner's Court.
Farmers must get crops like potatoes into the ground over the next 2 weeks in order to avoid shortages. The poor weather has led to waterlogged fields and a delay in planting crops for farmers who could be facing a second poor harvest. It's led to speculation that supermarkets could be forced to import products like potatoes to make up for a shortfall here. With a bit of farmer Dennis O'Connor says farmers need at least a week of good weather.
If it dried up next week, things wouldn't be too bad. There's loads of work to be done because the ground isn't even ploughed, a lot of it, and the shelves will be empty. If we don't get planting in the next week or two, there'll definitely be a gap. We'll just be hoping that we will get planting soon and that there won't be a gap for too long.
Meanwhile, all non-essential farm inspections have been placed on temporary hold for just over 2 weeks due to the ongoing adverse weather conditions. Making the announcement this afternoon, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue said he's asked his department to pause farm inspections not specifically required to support payments until April 22nd. He's also asked Chagask to establish a system for coordinating advisory supports to help farmers maximise existing fodder stocks and provide a basis for those with surpluses to engage with those who are struggling. And don't forget, Chris Ashmore is here with Farming News and Views. That's coming up at around 20 past five. He'll be looking at some of these issues over the course of that programme as well. Staying with the weather briefly, and strong winds are expected on Saturday with the arrival of Storm Kathleen. A status orange weather alert will be in place in Cork, Kerry, Galway and Mayo from 7 a.m. on Saturday until 5 p.m. Met Éireann are warning of damaging gusts. A yellow wind warning will be in place in Donegal and other counties over the same period. Well, Rebecca Cantwell is a meteorologist with Met Éireann. She says Storm Kathleen will primarily be a wind event, but it will still be quite wet.
Ahead of the storm, we are going to see rain, but that's going to be overnight on Friday night. It will all clear away by Saturday morning. The rain is overnight, and then the winds are going to be the feature all day Saturday.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. Firstly, to soccer, and as you might have heard on our news bulletins throughout the day, tomorrow night's SSE Airtricity League First Division clash between Finn Harps and UCD will now kick off at the earlier time of 5 p.m. The decision to bring the game forward comes following a partial failure of floodlights at Finn Park, resulting in insufficient lighting levels. The club says it continues to be a huge challenge to ensure the facilities at Finn Park meet licensing criteria and insists the move to a new stadium is vital for the survival of the club. Harps will continue maintenance on the floodlights to ensure future fixtures go ahead as planned. Cross-channel Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp says it's important they don't pay attention to all the talk surrounding the Premier League title race. They host bottom side Sheffield United at Anfield tonight, knowing a victory will take them back above Arsenal to the top of the table, but Klopp is refusing to embrace that his side are favourites for the title.
When we lost at Arsenal, we were not favourites after that match day, so maybe rightly so or not, I don't know, and I don't care. One of the most important things is to get through this period is just to ignore the outside mess.
Chelsea boss Mauricio Pochettino says tonight's Premier League clash with Manchester United is the time for his team to show what they're capable of. Pochettino has called on his young squad to win back the crowd at Stamford Bridge.
They are the principal actors that need to step up and say, we are here, we have character, we are going to show that we deserve to play in this amazing club. And of course, after, the fans are going to be in behind the team if we show that we are capable to deal with this.
In golf, Dunfanaghy Golf Club have been forced to cancel this weekend's McGinley Motors Senior and Intermediate Scratch Cup due to a yellow wind warning for Donegal. The popular tournament will now take place on Saturday the 7th of September, and the timesheet for the event is now open for early bookings. Play is underway on day one of the Valero Texas Open, where Justin Lower is the current leader on 4 under par. Padraig Harrington is level par through 5, while Seamus Power is 1 over through 8 holes, and Rory McIlroy tees off shortly after 7 p.m. this evening. Stephanie Meadow has moved to 1 under par after 5 holes of her second round at the T-Mobile Match Play in Las Vegas. Leona Maguire is 1 over through 2, while Kim Se-young is still the player to catch on 6 under par. In snooker, Jang An Da leads Gary Wilson by 8-7 in their quarterfinal match at the Tour Championship in Manchester, where the first to 10 will progress to the semi-finals. Mark Williams is 5-3 up on Judd Trump in the other last 8 tie currently ongoing. And later, Ding Jung Hui will resume with a 5-3 advantage against Mark Allen. And finally, on the score this evening, we speak with Inishowen man William O'Connor as he takes his UCD side to Balbuffet on Friday to face Finn Harps. It's a big weekend for Cockhill Celtic, and Gavin Cullen will tell us how preparations have been going ahead of Sunday's FAI Junior Cup semi-final against Pike Rovers. And we hear from Cathal Faulkner on Redcastle United's recent First Division success in Inishowen. We head to London to speak with coach Michael Boyle. The Ruislip men, who have 14 players from the Northwest in their ranks, start their Connacht Championship against Galway on Saturday. Plus, the Tyrone senior ladies face Kildare in the Division 2 league final this weekend. Sean O'Kane will tell us what they are expecting on Sunday at Croke Park. All that coming up on The Score this evening after the 7pm news. That's it for me today. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's Thursday. It's 18, just 19 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time for Farming News and Views. And I'll hand you over to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
The seemingly never-ending spell of wet weather continues to cause big headaches for farmers, and there appears to be little sign of any sustained dry spell ahead. Well, today the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, has been speaking about the challenges facing farmers across the country and referring in particular to the question of fodder availability, and conscious of the pressure on farmers, he has asked his department to pause farm inspections not specifically required to support payments until the 22nd of April. He's also asked Chagas to establish a system for coordinating advisory supports to help farmers maximise existing fodder stocks and provide a basis for those who have surpluses to engage with those who are struggling. And the National Fodder and Food Security Committee will meet again next week to assess things. Well, coming up, I'll be speaking about some of the problems associated with the ongoing wet weather with organic farmer Donald Logue, who is the Donegal IFA National Potato Committee representative. But first, it was a big day earlier this week for the Inishowen Uplands European Innovation Partnership, which launched its Farmer's Handbook at a function in the Ballyliffin Hotel with Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue in attendance. The Inishowen Upland Farmer's Handbook is available at agri-stores in the peninsula, or you can contact the Inishowen EIP office for further details. Now, this project is a five-year initiative, and at the conference in the Ballyliffin Hotel, among the topics discussed were the benefits of agroforestry, upland cattle, ponds, diverse swards and red clover planting measures on farms for shelter, biodiversity, animal health, carbon and flood mitigation. And we'll have more on this in a future programme. Well, back to the weather, which is the big talking point among farmers at the moment. To get his take on matters, I've been speaking with Donald Logue, who is an organic farmer in Muff and who is also the Donegal IFA representative on the National Potato Committee. I began by suggesting to him that the immediate outlook is not good.
No, it's not, Chris. Just weather forecast now coming up for the next lock of days is apparently going to be dreadful. Farmers are just struggling just to get out and maybe get the rest of their last of their ploughing done. And it's you could maybe use the words demoralising, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. So what's the situation here in the county in terms of the potato crop for the year ahead? Where are we with regard to planting?
In regards to planting, that could be the case where some farmers could be struggling for seed, and some potato farmers could have enough seed. But if normally potato farmers are looking to maybe have about 50% new seed every year, if you understand me. And if this weather continues and then we need a real good spell of weather to dry ground up, it could leave planting very late. And obviously when planting's left very late, harvesting's later. And if we have another year like last year, I dread to think what lies ahead. Like,
yeah, so the acreage could drop by quite a bit?
It could. There is rumours that some potato growers are maybe thinking of maybe increasing, but I'd say the biggest item, if they're going to stay at the same amount or maybe less, I'd say that could be more likely the story.
So in the short term, we're dependent on the weather hopefully picking up as April progresses and we need a dry May. But if it doesn't, this is going to lead to all sorts of problems, and there's a fair chance that there'll be some calls for some sort of state intervention.
There is calls there for some kind of help, but the last potato committee meeting I was at, there were still reports that there was anything between 500 and 600 acres of potatoes still lying in the ground down the country, where there is still some potatoes still lying in the ground and maybe not worth harvesting in the county here in Donegal. It's a case too where there could be shortages in potatoes as the year goes on. If we have another year like 23, you know, there will more likely will be shortages as we go on and into the end of 24 and into 25.
And would you feel this is the worst that you can remember?
Well, yeah, it would be. Like, if you take, for instance, the crop of 23, the crop of 23 went into the ground with some of the highest recorded input costs that in recent memory. You had diesel, you had fertilizer, you had sprays, you had electrical costs too, which was sky high. And fair enough, potatoes might be at a good price now, but all that good price we're experiencing now has already been ate up.
As we look then at the organic sector, Donald, you're very much involved here, and likewise, there's a lot of difficulties there as well.
The organic sector is experienced, when it comes to potatoes and veg, is experiencing more or less the same experiences as the conventional land. Like for myself, which I am an organic farmer and potato grower and cereal grower and veg, it's a case where we want the soils to be dry and warm, because we can't use no artificial stimulants to push the crop on. We're relying on good weather and good soil conditions to get crops established. Like the potato end, like potato seed is in the organic sector is short. It's the case, fair enough, the potato sector and the organic end is growing. More and more people are starting to venture down the road of buying organic potatoes, but it's the case that we're experiencing the same. We still can't get them into the ground, and it's all pressure at the end of the day.
And simple economics for various crops, you know, if the output drops, the price is going to rise if we have shortages, and that's all going to fuel inflation, so it's not going to help anybody.
No, it's not. There's no one better than the housewife or the house husband that'll tell you that something's too dear when it sits on the shelf.
And this is all coming at a time that the organic sector in Ireland has been growing rapidly over the last number of years, and there's a lot more supports there. So this is, I suppose, stifling a lot of potential growth.
Yeah, it does. Fair enough. Like the tillage end, more so than any, has experienced a good rise and a need in the country. If you take the cereal end, there's expected shortages, you know, of organic cereal in the whole of Ireland, which will have to be supplemented by bought-in products, you know, from outside of the country or made products.
So it's really a case of fingers crossed?
Yeah, fingers crossed, toes crossed. If you cross too much, you'll fall over. But all we can hope for, and this is in the conventional sector and organic sector, is after this bad spell comes that we get some kind of good weather that we can get out to the fields, because there's no other place a farmer wants to be is out in the fields working and getting the crop in and to feed the public and to feed animals. It's hard to stand in the yard and look out at the fields with puddles in them. Fields still not ploughed. No, the machinery sitting ready to go. Kind of demoralising.
Donald Logue, who is an organic farmer in Muff and who is also the Donegal IFA representative on the National Potato Committee. A series of 12 Clover Spring Farm Walks are taking place nationally and will run until the 17th of April, focusing on spring grazing and clover management during this particularly difficult time. The walk in Donegal will take place next Wednesday on the farm of Stephen Fitzpatrick in Cavanachaw, just outside St Johnston. And finally, in other news, hogget quotes have actually increased by up to 10 cent a kilo on last week, with quality assured hoggets now quoted at up to €8.80 a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you, Chris. Well, the forecast, it'll stay cloudy for a time this evening and tonight, but persistent rain will move in with some heavier outbreaks at times in moderate southeast breezes. Rain will persist for a while. It'll gradually clear to the north, leading to clear spells and showers from the south. Lowest overnight temperatures 5 to 7 degrees Celsius, moderate to fresh easterly winds becoming southerly as the rain clears. Tomorrow, Friday, expect a mostly cloudy day with blustery showers or longer spells of rain, clearing to the north with bright spells following later. Staying mild tomorrow, highs of 13 to 15 degrees Celsius in fresh, gusty, southerly winds. Main stories in brief: additional evidence in the case of Donegal man Michael Leonard, who was shot dead by the RUC across the border from his native Pettigo, shows the Irish government was denied accurate information on the killing in 1973. A file has been obtained from the Department of Foreign Affairs by the victim's charity Paper Trail. Lots more details on that story and the rest of today's news, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. It's emerged sick people on Tory Island needing medical attention on the mainland are being transported to waiting helicopters in work vans. And a report by the Institute of International and European Affairs on the cost of United Ireland has been criticised by an economics professor with the ESRI. The report suggests reunification would cost €20 billion every year for 20 years. However, an economics professor with the ESRI says the report didn't consider many factors. Our next news is at 6. In the interim, have a very good evening and we will talk to you at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday, the 4th of April. The death has occurred of Brendan Holmes, Bogey, Newton Cunningham. Brendan will repose at his late residence this afternoon and again tomorrow with rosary at 8 o'clock nightly. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral cortege leaving his late residence on Saturday morning at 20 past 11, going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on newtoncalaisparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Society of St Vincent de Paul, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Ellen Simmons, Crilly, Pettigo, reposing at her home until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral in St Joseph's Church, Letterkran, Pettigo, tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, in aid of Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association or the Cardiac Unit at Southwest Acute Hospital via Pat Britton Funeral Director or any family member. The death has taken place of Alice Leash Boyle, Ne McGrath, 40 St Coleman's Drive, Strabane, formerly of Syne Mills, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has occurred of Marianne Bonner, Molly Rowe, Duhurry. Her remains are reposing at her son Michael's home with rosary tonight at 10. Funeral tomorrow at 12 noon in St Bridget's Church, Letchimacha Ward, with interment in the new cemetery. House private, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.